This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Emerged on a man who was a person of interest, now a suspect in that horrific attack on the subway in Brooklyn the other day. Terrible weather affecting people in Texas and in parts of the Midwest. What else is new, right, with tornadoes? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney still here in Newport Beach, California, on the way back to our satellite facility in Dallas, Texas, where I'll be broadcasting the rest of the week. The weather here is good, but the weather not so great in other parts of the country. I'll get to that. But I think a story that really is taking people's breath away, perhaps, or maybe not your breath away, because you say, well, this is what happens, and look what's going on in New York, and why are people leaving New York? And when you used to be able to just get on a subway, and you weren't thinking someone might push you off the platform, or something else could happen. And I know there's people listening, and I grew up outside of a big city, so I get it, where they say, oh, well, that's just an anomaly, and that doesn't happen very often. But maybe it's what's going on, the isolation, maybe it's just one of those particular people that is raging inside, which is what may be the cause. There is no motivation or what could possibly be the motive, perhaps, for this now suspect, Frank James, who has now, apparently they found videos of him where he said, I've been through a lot of you-know-what, where I can say I wanted to kill people, I wanted to watch people die in front of my blanking face, but I thought about the fact that, hey, I don't want to go to no blanking prison. Just all kinds of rambling, nonsensical videos and things that they've dug up and they found in his past. So he was initially a person of interest, and as I said, he now is a suspect. Some of this preliminary info indicates that he talked about being homeless. He ranted about the New York City and the city's mayor, Eric Adams, and online posts and all of that. So this is being revealed. There were a couple of photos that were released of him at a news conference, if I'll call it that, the day after yesterday, what happened on Wednesday, obviously it happened on Tuesday, and they had this manhunt because of course it was terrible. You saw the videos. 10 people were shot, some of them in critical condition but now stable, and sent off panic in Brooklyn. So according to the police, he had a gas mask, and this is what witnesses were saying. He flooded a subway car with the smoke and before opening fire, and he hit the 10 people, 5 of them, like I said, in critical but stable condition. None of the wounds life-threatening, thank goodness. But the shooting on the subway car at the very height of a morning commute set off panic in New York. I mean, already they're dealing with gun violence, they're dealing with the insanity of the pandemic and so much more. But more on this guy, just briefly I'll say, he was obviously not right. 62 years old, Frank James is his name. Like I said, person of interest in the subway attack. They were very careful not to call him a suspect, and that kind of switched over. So that shifted on Wednesday morning. There's not a big, they're not elaborating on what they've got, but he is now moved into the different category. They found a key for a U-Haul van that was recovered in Brooklyn. The U-Haul had, they said, connected the police with him, with James, who had rented the van in Philadelphia, and apparently he had gone to a couple of different places, and just an awful, awful thing. I mean, the witnesses, the people who were shocked, the people who almost got on that train, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on and on, and just a terrible, terrible thing. And I mentioned the other day that I knew several people who loved living in New York and had come from different places, some of them native New Yorkers, and they left because they thought, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm out of this situation. All right, the situation we're all in now, and this is something that that broke during the day. It's not official, but I believe it's going to be official from somebody I know in the administration. But they're going to extend the 2 weeks of this mask requirement for public transportation because of the uptick in COVID-19 cases. That means, think about if you're flying, if you're on a bus, whatever, just remember to pack that mask so you don't have any problems, because it's going to be extended through May 3rd. So that's planes, buses, trains, any kind of transit hubs. That's where they'll nail you for that. And, you know, now we're in a spot where so many of us are not thinking about that, but because of this BA2 variant, and that's the uptick in the cases, so that's going to be extended through May. Boy, you look at the economy, you look at how we were rocked during this pandemic, fingers crossed and everything else in between. Oh, please, let's not see this spread to anything where we've got people that are in intensive care again. It's not. That hasn't happened. It's just that we've seen a lot of cases that have cropped up, and it certainly is what's happened in other places, not just the U.S. But I'll just throw this out there for you. According to the numbers I have from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, BA2 has caused 86% of the new COVID-19 cases. That's from last week and going into this week. It feels kind of familiar in a way, with cases going up, so that kind of makes you a little worried, right? The mask mandate coming back. Broadway shows have canceled some of their performances. And we went through Omicron at the beginning of the year, and we thought, woohoo, we're going into a new year, we're out of this. But record low hospitalizations, people. So I'm not going to spread any panic. I'm just telling you what I know. Record low hospitalizations. Hang on to that. Deaths continuing to fall. It's just that this is spreading more, right? And sometimes the numbers lag, so we'll keep you up to date on what we know, but we don't want to see our workplace, our social lives, our kids' lives, any of that, this disruption to the economy, which we're already dealing with inflation, but there is a rise of cases, so we have to deal with what we see, and of course, whatever the regulation is going to be, because that's the world that we live in, and then you decide for yourself what's safe, what's not safe. I like the fact that we're not seeing the hospitalizations, we're not seeing the intensive care, because that was a scary thing, let's face it, in the beginning of what happened in our world a couple of years ago with COVID. That was the thing. Absolutely, 100%. All right, and finally, just a quick note on this, because these are all the things that we're talking about, and I'm going to go into the weather next, but Russia broke humanitarian law. That's what the OSCE is saying. Because people are looking, I think governments are looking to, what can we hang on? War crimes, what can we do? I mean, you know, Macron from France is resisting calling Russia's war genocide. Because remember, Biden used that term and set off shockwaves. But we're looking at Mariupol, we're looking at the bodies that were buried, we're looking at 1.4 million people without running water in Eastern Europe, or in Eastern Ukraine, not Europe, because Europeans are watching this. And then the plea by Zelensky, which has been all along, for more weapons, because he knows the way to break Russia is just to fight back with firepower, and how much firepower can they possibly get. That's what it's about. And then you've got other countries who are debating joining NATO. So Finland is one of them. There are a couple of others, too. And that could really tip the balance in the world. Hang on. Coming up next, weather, nasty stuff.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Stock market have you nervous? With geopolitical conflict and inflation concerns, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you don't have to. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word DEMO to 813813 and discover how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you trade stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text DEMO to 813813 to get what you need to stay ahead of the markets and find big moves before they happen. Don't wait. Text DEMO to 813813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn what more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today. Once again, broadcasting from Newport Beach, California. Boy, it was so windy yesterday. I just have to tell you a quick story. I mean, hey, I feel blessed to be where I am and be here with such great people and covering this conference and bringing my perspective to all of you across the country. And I love taking the show to all kinds of rural areas. You know, we went in Iowa, big suburban areas, teeny hamlets. You get it. You know it. I mean, that would be my ultimate goal, is to have a bus and just take the show everywhere. But in this part of the world, it is like an interesting slice of Orange County. And it's usually the weather is pretty good, you know, 70s. It's that perfect kind of weather pattern. Yesterday, I swear, the palm trees just like bent backwards, right? I know people are dealing with tornadoes and back where I'm from, but and hail and all that, but oh my gosh, just seeing the palm trees, and it was like being on the Sahara Desert. I just wanted to get a glimpse of the Pacific Ocean walking toward that beach. It was so crazy. I promise you should sign up for my Facebook page, my fan page, because I'm going to start posting pictures of some of the things that I've seen. It's mind-boggling. All right, in the meantime, if I were broadcasting from my satellite facility in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, some bad weather, nasty weather. You know, we were talking about hail, that in some places the hail was, you know, baseball size, bigger than baseball. Hail that was 5.5 inches in diameter. That especially hit Salida, that area. But there were people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that also got it too. Whatever size you want to call it, grapefruit size, I guess might be a better way to think of that in your mind. And it went all the way from Austin to DFW. So a lot of people listening in Texas, and people have friends and family in Texas, their cars might have gotten pelted, the roofs damaged again. Hopefully a lot of people weren't caught in this, because that is, I mean, I've been hit by little BBs of hail, and it's stinger-like. I cannot imagine if you had to run from a car, a house, or whatever you had to do, and got caught up in the storm and you got smashed by that kind of hail, it would be, almost the kind of hail I think that could possibly knock you out. I don't know. I didn't hear any stories like that, but it's just something you wouldn't want to have been in the middle of. And there were tens of thousands of people that still have power outages on. As of Wednesday morning, there were power outages because of what happened there. And of course, what the National Weather Service said, and they're right. When you get into this kind of a system, you got to have a way to avoid tornadoes. I mean, it's almost like, I think now, I used to kind of poo-poo the idea of having a storm shelter, but I think you have to have some place you know that you can go. After seeing some of these horrific things that happen to people in tornadoes, in areas where you think you're kind of on the outskirts of it. But when you start to see that wind whip up, and you know this is that kind of a situation, then flash floods, all of that, and they're just, you know, surveying the damage the next day. That's what you do. But there were tornadoes that were reported with damage that stretched into several states. Iowa, all my peeps listening in Iowa, at least two tornadoes were confirmed there. I know somebody at the conference where I am, they were worried about getting back because they knew that flights were going to be canceled. There was a confirmed tornado in Iowa that ripped through farmland near Gilmore City, Iowa, if you know where that is. There were tornadoes and hail in Arkansas. Also Charleston and Scranton, they experienced the same thing. And in Louisiana, in Bossier City, there were storms that just knocked out trees, hit trees into homes. So it was a bad storm without a doubt. And more weather coming the way of the Midwest. So, you know, this is what you have to prepare for. And I'll say this again, I didn't used to have a go bag even because I thought confidently, well, look, I'm like in this different places where I live. I'm kind of in this little oasis of, yeah, we get some bad weather, but it's not terrible, until I was in the middle of a hurricane and that changed everything. So have a plan. It's not a lecture. It's just me being here giving you what I know, my observations from traveling, from seeing what's even happened in my own life, to covering people who have been in the middle of devastation. If you're prepared, you know, like have a plan or plan to fail. If you have some kind of a plan, at least you have a better chance of, one, surviving what could be something horrific, and also just to get out of it and not to have to have that stress and those constraints of, where's the important papers? You know, what do I do next? All right, speaking of what do I do next, lots of conversation about the cost of gas, food, all the everyday things that we get, the everyday items, I'll call it that. And we're seeing it increase the fastest in more than 40 years. So in my lifetime, this accelerated the pace of this inflation. I mentioned this number a couple of times, and what's numbers you can manipulate any way you want, but there's a way to arrive at this: 8.5% in March. So you compare it to the previous year, and it's the fastest pace since 1981. So another thing that you're feeling, and another thing to be aware of. There's a lot of skimming going on at the pumps. People are thinking of ways to hoard gasoline. I mean, nefarious. People are thinking of ways to do that because fuel and oil has gone up 70.1%. Gasoline, all types of gasoline, 48%. Airline fares have gone up 23%+. Meats, poultry, fish, eggs, 13.7%. I know people that are hanging on to cars. You may be one of them listening. You know, your car's starting to get older, it's rattling around, you're starting to have problems with it, you're kind of worried. And new cars, 12.5%. Not easy to get, and a lot of times totally outpriced for what they are, right? Electricity, 11%. Fruits and vegetables, 8.5%. I feel like I'm pelting you with negative news, but you need to know this. So motor vehicle maintenance is like what I said, when you need repairs, up almost 5%. And I was just reading a story about rents, and I have friends that thought it would be better to rent. Rent has shot up significantly, almost 5%, but 4.5%. So this is it. This is the breakdown of a lot of what we're seeing in our life. It's more expensive. The increase in prices are outpacing what you're earning. for the most part, that's what a lot of people are seeing. The Federal Reserve, the U.S. Central Bank, of course, raising interest rates to increase the cost of borrowing money. And that is supposedly the goal, to slow down the economy and inflation. But some people think there's two ways of looking at this, and I've had conversations with quite a few people, and we're going to have more specifics on inflation and looking at numbers that make sense. But some people worry that the Fed is moving too slowly and that it could force people to take more drastic steps because of the prices. What do you do with the prices? It's a nightmare scenario, really, right? So it's like we're saying, well, wait, the Fed has to mess with our economy like they did in the 80s by having insane aggressive interest rates to cut high inflation, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. If you're getting a house, if you're in the middle of all of that, hopefully locked in a rate. The Federal Reserve is aiming for an inflation rate of about 2% a year, right? Trying to have that balance with the high employment levels, but then without runaway price increases. But inflation, like that number I said, is so much higher and greater in the U.S. I read a great in-depth article, I think it was in the New York Times, about this, really spelling out some of these numbers. And it's greater in the U.S. than in Europe and in other developed countries. So this is going to be a problem for us. This is going to be a problem for us. The supply lines, right? I've talked about this. You all know this. When we talk about the Ukraine and some people say, oh, I feel sorry for the people. I want to help. I donate a dollar. I have $5 in my pocket. I'll give it to them. Americans are incredibly generous. But it's, what is the effect of what Putin has done on us? Well, the unexpected, perhaps, or invasion of the Ukraine has caused gas prices to spike. And because the Ukraine, and some people don't realize this, is a major, yes, major food producer, it's also increased food prices, and it does hit us in the United States. So it has affected us. What the megalomaniac Putin is doing is affecting your life, right? And then COVID has messed up the supply lines, and that started, so if you ramp that back to 2020, That's ramped up the supply line problems. That's when it all really, really, really started. I mean, you go back to COVID. That was disruptive. That was tragic. That was what messed with livelihoods and lives. I mean, it started there. Absolutely, it started there. Now, I'm an optimist, so what could possibly happen? Inflation could start coming down later this year, please, please, please. And that would be a good thing, that if we look at some of the core, like, indexes, they say. So if you, when I say they, economists. So gas prices have already come down, thank you, since March, since the peak. That's good. And the other thing that we were looking, because you go to the shock of the oil and gas and all of that, the other thing that we look at is U.S. drilling, clean energy sources, some of that's happening. That's another good sign, too. All right, stay with us.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Thinking of traveling? Make sure to grab your mask before heading out. Reporter Lance Pry has more on the CDC's extension of the travel mask mandate.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention will extend its travel mask mandate for 15 more days. Despite protests from nearly one dozen major airlines, in a joint letter, they told the Biden administration it makes no sense that people are still required to wear masks on airplanes. Now is the time for the administration to sunset federal transportation travel restrictions. End quote. The airlines called on Biden to end the mandate, but to no avail. May 3rd is the new end date for masks on public transportation.
New York City authorities arrested 62-year-old Frank James. Police believe he is behind the gun attack on a subway train that wounded 10 people. You're listening to USA Radio News. Russia has committed human rights abuses and broken international humanitarian law during its invasion of Ukraine, according to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. The report comes one day after President Joe Biden accused Moscow of genocide. Soaring gas prices are forcing some Uber and Lyft drivers off the road. According to a poll from the Rideshare Guy, a blog aimed at helping rideshare drivers earn more money, nearly half of rideshare workers, as well as food deliverers for companies like Grubhub, DoorDash, and Uber Eats, quit or drive less because of the recent spike in gas prices. The 2022 hurricane season will be above normal, according to predictions from tropical weather forecasters at AccuWeather. A veteran meteorologist and hurricane expert predicted there is a higher than normal chance a major hurricane could make landfall in the U.S., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
KateDelaneyRadio.com, that's the address for the mailbag. Many of you have stumbled on it. Thank you, as always. Let's jump right into it. I'm on the road, and you're paying attention. Patrick says, hey, Kate, Newport Beach is a really cool place. I briefly worked for a company in California and lived just outside of Los Angeles. I hated California. I'm from the Midwest, and I was so glad to get back to my roots. But I did like some of the eye-popping, beautiful scenery that I got to see. So when I was there, I had a chance to travel up and down the coast, everything from the sequoias to the wine country in the north, some awesome fishing in off that coastline, and then going to Newport Beach. I went a couple of times, and it really was a really fun area to kayak. I took my kids out on kayaks and whatnot, and it was fun. So we had a couple of long weekends there, and enjoy the time you're there because it is incredible, breathtaking, God's country. It's that scenery, absolutely. The people, not quite as fond of. So like I said, glad I'm in the Midwest. No offense to the Californians, because it is great in the areas where you can go and take advantage of Mother Nature. Yeah, you know what, Patrick, that's so interesting you say that, because that's what Newport Beach is all about. It's about boating. So they have these things, I don't even remember what they're called. They're not dinghies. They're like these little boats, and they have a name for them, something I never heard. Now it's going to drive me crazy, and I'll figure out what that is, but it is boats, it is water, it is the Pacific, it is the back bays and the palm trees and the way things are cut from, you know, the Pacific Coast Highway. So I agree, it's God's country in that sense. And that's what's great about America, right? And that's why traveling to me is, it just blows my mind that, you know, one day you're at the Grand Canyon and you're like, wow, you're this one little person looking down at this canyon. And then another time, if you're lucky enough, you're like I am, and you're on the Pacific Coast and you're just looking out at the vast horizon, just at the huge waves and things that are coming in on a really crazy windy day, and looking at the seagulls and the incredible scenery. So yeah, thanks for that. Newport Beach is a place I would put on a list. If you come out to California, you can spend some time. They have a really quaint little town, which many of you probably have quaint little towns in your areas, but their big thing is frozen bananas, like chocolate covered bananas, and that have been around from, you know, since like 1920. And there's one store that I saw where it said 1940, and people were just lined up all over the place, and they have different kinds of things that they put on them. But yeah, fascinating. So yeah, absolutely. Okay, Rex says, Kate, I really feel badly for the people in New York City. I would not live there to save my life. I mean, look, I've gone there for conferences. I work for a tech company, and we have so much history there, and there is something about New York. I agree, and I like the vibe of some of the people, but they have been through hell and back. Remember, this was originally one of the worst places. It's the travesty what happened with Cuomo and the underreporting of the deaths in some of those nursing homes and assisted living facilities, and what they dealt with COVID, because you have so many people on top of each other. And now, of course, just another shocking, horrible thing, people targeted in the subway because just eeny, meeny, miny, mo. They happen to be commuting, trying to put bread on the table for themselves or their families or whatever it is in their personal life. And this guy, this nutball, throws tear gas into the car and starts to shoot at them. It is a miracle that nobody was killed. I pray for those people who are probably, in some cases, even though they say it wasn't terribly life-threatening, if you're in critical condition, it couldn't have been good. And what would that be like for any of us to be a target? Which is why more and more, I think self-defense, arming yourself, being aware of your surroundings is so, so vitally important. Yep. You don't want to be a doomsdayer in the sense of, when I say doomsdayer, that every day is bleak, everybody's going to be after you, it's negative. No, we still live in the greatest country in the face of the earth. This was a random, senseless, stupid, outrageous act of violence by somebody who lost it, looks like, you know, allegedly, with this guy that now is the suspect. But so you can't, I don't think the precious life we have, we drain ourselves of that. But yes, absolutely, you nailed it 100%, Rex. What can you do? Be more vigilant in your surroundings. Know where an exit is. Now, the people on that train, they were trapped. I mean, they're on the train, they're just doing the commute. They quickly go down the steps, they get on the platform, they're on the train. He comes in, he happened to target them because that was what he was going to do. And that's a random thing. What could someone have done? Well, you could say, well, what if you were armed? What if you could have open carry in New York? What if you could, so somebody could have defended that? You know, it's different in some areas. This was a thing where I don't know that would somebody have quickly thought and looked and seen what he was doing? Let's just say not even a gun involved, where you could just have smashed him in the head. Somebody could have just smashed him in the head, gone after him. He's a big guy from what I can see from the photos. But would you have noticed that? Would you have seen anything? Would all of a sudden this gun lifts up? I don't know. But for all of us in our life, yes, you go to a hotel, look where the exits are, because what if there's a fire? I mean, there's just things that maybe we're sleepwalking sometimes, and I'll raise my hand because I'm an optimist and I believe in the best in people, and I'm not looking around for the nefarious things to happen. But now I'm more diligent. Now I'm better at really assessing my surroundings because of some of the guests, frankly, that we've had on this show and things we've done on all kinds of crime, even cybercrime, being safer about that. So, yeah, Rex, I agree with you. Be aware of your surroundings. Let's move to James, who is listening to us in New Orleans, and he says, "Ah, Kate, I have to travel all of a sudden. They lifted the travel ban in my company. I have to travel more, and now it seems as though when I thought the mask was going away, it's coming back, that there's going to be an extension of that. So if you're getting on planes, you got to wear the mask. I'm sure you know because you are out in California and you've flown, but it's that stupid variant that has put us back in the clutches of the mast. And it is so tiring and so aggravating, and I think people are so incredibly exhausted from all of this. And my company is grappling with, do we go back to work? Are we back a couple of days? Some of our competitors are back in the office, and they're not back in the office for the entire week, but for a bunch of weeks. Does that matter? I think it does, because we lose that connection with our coworkers when we're not going out to lunch. I miss my lunches with my buddies. I miss the birthday cakes and the celebrations that we all had. And, of course, there are things that have happened around that in ways that my company has gotten to reach and touch and do whatever they can to make people feel like they're still part of the team. But I think it is really, really tough to do that. What do you say? Oh, and once again, yeah, James, you know, it's interesting because there's this acronym now. It's called WFA, Work From Anywhere, which is great, right? You can work. That's why a lot of people move. They can work remotely. But I would be, if I had a big company, which I'm not in that game, but I have been, if I were in a big company, I would want people, I would hope, that we could be back in the office, we could make it happen. At least, let's say if we had split, if you surveyed your people and some people, oh no, I'm going to work from home because they want to wear shorts and flip-flops, let's face it. And maybe they are working really hard because some people would say, well, you know, then you can fluff off. I don't think it's about that. When you're in the office and you do have a really decent group of people that you like, people that you've worked with for a long time, yes, you go out to lunch, you get to know them better. You go to a happy hour, maybe, if you do that. Maybe you have a baseball team, you know, like a softball team or something. So we all know this. I mean, this was part of the fabric of our lives because you have work life. You have a personal life. Work life is a big chunk of our lives. And when you have that great camaraderie with the people you work with, it's wonderful when people reach out to you when you need help. And we see it. There are wonderful, I've worked with amazing people. If my car broke down when I was single or something, there were people that immediately responded, not like, ugh, do we have to go and help Delaney? No. And it does make you closer, it does. And I absolutely, when I was sports director at a big station in Dallas, when I was doing news in one of the cities I worked with in a small, wonderful place, Kearney, Nebraska. We went out together. We were comrades, and people, you know, people helped. You start having a conversation. Well, I can help you with that. Even if it wasn't all complaining and, oh, we hate work, there was that camaraderie. And it is hard to duplicate that when you're removed from each other completely. I think WFA works, absolutely. It works 100% in so many other ways, but especially in big companies where you do have teams and you have people that are helping each other, it is much more difficult, absolutely. All right, Anita is listening to us in Iowa, and Anita says, oh, Kate, the tornadoes. You know, you're so right when you talk about tornadoes and what tornadoes can do. And you know, because you've seen the aftermath of them, I've heard you talk about one of the ones that you saw when you first started in your career, when you had no idea about tornadoes. And it's just something you have to try to prepare for as best as you can, and just being really on top of what the weather situation is and not ignoring the weather around you, because in an instant it can turn on you, and you never know where those funnels are going to go or when the wind and the weather pattern is just going to be ripe for that. And it's tough. It's tough when you see neighbors have their houses ripped up. We just had some tornadoes that touched down not too far from me. It was mostly trees that got ripped up, thank goodness. But there were some people that had some damages with a couple of tornadoes. Mostly, as I said, mostly it was the kind that you just were piecing things back together. All right, thanks for that. Yep, be aware of the weather, absolutely. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. That's where you can hit us up on the mailbag. Thanks. Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out, just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Joins us now. He's in our virtual green room for this edition of Author's Corner, and I think you all know how I feel about poetry. I've talked about that before, that my father wrote poetry, and it's just fascinating to me what drives people to write poetry. And in his book, he talks about growing up and reading a lot of books on everything he could find to read. So science, philosophy, politics, history, music, romance novels, comic books. Wow, that's interesting. Imagine one day you're in a romance book and the next day you're in a comic book. And like me, he's a huge movie buff. Action flicks, comedies, love stories, science fiction, and romantic comedies. So Alan, you're a well-rounded individual, I think, because you had your nose in all kinds of things, especially when you were reading, but also with movies as well. Is that part of the reason that it kind of drove you toward poetry?
Yeah, I think it was a creative thing in me. I took art in school, too, and I was like into creating things and, you know, just imagining. I guess I had a good imagination. And I tried to, you know, drawing pictures and thinking of this thing, you know, imagination. And I liked creating things. And one thing that kind of drove me to this was something creative, too, in a way to express myself, maybe on paper. A different way besides, you know, drawing a picture, maybe a picture of what, you know, was going on in my mind or what I was thinking.
And what was the reaction to the women in your life to the poetry that, you've written? Because you write about love.
Some of them have read them. They really liked them. And, of course, a woman, like my wife, she's like, curious, who am I writing this about? And I said, I told her, well, most of them I wrote for you, but I was scared. I didn't want to give them to you. Or I was like, you know, I don't know. I guess it was just.
That was the right answer.
Yeah. Well, most of them were. And some of them, actually, I wrote years back. Once in a while, just like, I need to write a poem and get this off of me. And just what stuff I was thinking. And I'd write it down on a piece of paper. And I ended up having, like, papers all over the place, just different places. And then when I decided to do a book, I was, like, digging around through stuff and put them all on the computer. That would took the time to just to find, round them up, and I probably still got some somewhere. I don't know where they're at now, but you know, I just wrote them in a notebook sometimes I'd be at work and think of something and just write it down on a little, you know, stick of note or something.
Yeah. And so you pull them together in different ways, and then the name of the book, by the way, the poetry, is When a Man Loves You, What He Doesn't Say. So when a man loves you, what doesn't he say?
I don't think we say a lot. I think men are, you know, we're brought up to be tough and you know, we're got to be tough and strong and not show our feelings and I'm guilty. I'm the same way. I mean, I played football and did all these sports and, you know, wrestled and baseball and, you know, try to be the tough guy, I guess, or whatever, but still you would get you'd meet a girl and think you're in love or something, and maybe you're too scared to say something because you don't want to get hurt like anybody else, or maybe something, you know, happened and you got hurt. I mean, it happens.
And yeah.
I would put it on paper.
That sets you apart. Tell me that story in a second. That sets you apart because if you were expressing your feelings in poetry and you were handing them to some of these girls, some of these women, I would think that you would be very popular.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it. Sometimes I think they were put aback because most guys wouldn't do that, or they wouldn't say anything, or they would just, you know what I mean? They wouldn't express themselves.
Yeah. Good for you for doing that. So tell me your story. Tell me a story about somebody that you gave one of your poems to.
Well, I think there was one that, it was someone I met when I was working at JCPenney, and I thought she was beautiful. She kept coming in, and she talked to me. I think we went out one time, and I wrote a poem and gave it to her, and then I don't know. I think it may sound crazy, but I think it scared her away because she quit coming around. Like, she probably didn't know what to think. Like, what is this guy thinking? Or, I don't know. It's something different. I don't guess every guy does that.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys don't do that. But good for you, because I think what you're describing, you did take a risk by doing that. But good for you, because that was a way to. For you to express yourself. We're speaking with Alan Annis, and his book is When a Man Loves You, What He Doesn't Say. Do you have a favorite poem that you've ever written?
Well, I was looking through this first book. I put it together on my own, self-published it. And as I was going through them, because, you said something about find my favorite one. I really picked out about five or six I really thought were good. But then I got to the last one. I said, you know what? This is it. This is like, it like sums up the whole book.
Yeah, there you go. What is it?
I would share it. The title is It Stuck in Me. I got so much I want to say, I just can't get it out. It's coming from my heart, and it wants to shout. Sometimes when we're together, it's stuck in me. I want to tell you how I feel. It won't break free. Right now, I struggle to describe how I feel now. I just know you got deep in my heart somehow. So, dear lady, remember in those quiet times here, those words I want to say are stuck in me, dear. I know the words are simple to say, I love you, but when it runs so deep, the feeling's true. It's coming from my heart and it wants to shout. Got so much I want to say, I just can't get it out.
Wow. Bravo. Well done. It's stuck in me. That's such a good name for a poem. And you know what's interesting, Alan, too, that you've had these different careers where, and you mentioned it, as a kid working in retail sales, transportation, manufacturing, and utility work. You and I have talked about that off the air, some of the crazy things that are happening across America and what we're seeing. And do you think that also adds to your experience because you've done a lot of different things?
Yeah, I'm pretty diversified. I've never been afraid to try anything as far as work-wise or, you know, I've done different things. I mean, when I was younger, I had friends in a band. I ran sound for the band. I was the sound guy for them, and they weren't like a big-name band, but it was fun, and it was something creative. And if people would ask me, hey, you want to do this? Sure, I'll help you. I always try to help people, and if they needed help, and I just keep busy, and then you go through your life, things happen, you meet somebody, and I've got, you know, three kids. And to be honest, this was hard for me to do, to put this out here, because I knew I'd probably get reactions from different people, and then my mom's like, I didn't know you did that, because I didn't tell nobody. I could just do it and write these down, and as a matter of fact, I'm working on a second book. I'm trying to get it out by early next year, maybe the end of December, because I have more that I wrote that I didn't put in the first one, and just the goal. I just started thinking, well, maybe if people, I got a good response from people that's bought it, and also family. They're like, oh wow, do this. You know, my mom really got excited. She goes, wanted me. She said, well, you need to do it again. This is awesome. But something to do. I just thought there's probably more people like me out there that got things on their mind and they don't want to say it. They're worried about what someone's going to think, or like I said, it's stuck in you. You can't get it out.
I like it. That's why I'm so happy that was your favorite, because it's true. It's stuck in you, so you found a way to express yourself. And this is something that I think a lot of guys listening, good, you know, if you could do the same thing that Alan's done, man, you could really open yourself up, I think. So, again, it's When a Man Loves You, What He Doesn't Say. You can get that on Amazon. Alan, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate being on your program.
Of course, and we can't wait to see what happens next for you. And thanks to everybody out there for listening to this version of the show.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.